This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is Kelvin and Hizriel on the evening edition. It is 6:07. And we're now talking about, well, surprise, surprise, Langkawi MP Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's new political party. So this was announced by Tun M himself in a press conference about 2 hours ago. It's yet to be registered and approved by the Registrar of Societies, or ROS. But this unnamed party will be open to Malays and pre-Bumi and will not be a part of any coalition, either Perikatan Nasional or Pakatan Harapan.
That's right. So the party's mission pretty much aligns with Bersatu's original goals. In fact, the news portal reported it as a mirror of Bersatu. And it's mainly to combat kleptocracy and corruption and to protect the dignity of Bumi Putras while protecting the interests of all races. The main difference, however, is the party's membership. This includes current MPs aligned to Tun M, as well as Bersatu members who've been supporting the Bersatu blackout movement.
Yeah, so this is coming as, I think, today's judgment from the court, where it was dismissed, the court's dismissal today against the revocation of the MP's dismissal from the original Bersatu. And this is also coming as talks of snap polls are picking up pace. So we wanted to see how this will shape the current political landscape. In some ways, this was seen as inevitable, as the High Court, based on that judgment from the High Court, where they rejected Tun M's bid to challenge his removal from Bersatu.
Right, but nonetheless, Kel, analysts have also warned Tun M against doing so. For one, it will saturate the pool of existing Malay parties, and some have said that it's time for Tun M to perhaps throw in the towel and retire from politics.
Yeah, I think that those are two very good points. Right now, we have UMNO, we have BAS, we have Bersatu just in Semenanjung alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't exactly know how they will stand out from one another. Though specifically, I think Tun M has said that these three parties, meaning not his, have left their original ideals.
Right, the original struggles.
Departed from that completely. So he thinks this party will be the one to revive that, to, I guess, essentially welcome the more moderate Malays, and according to him, which is really to fight against corruption, greed, and so on.
Right, but I'm actually curious, if you've looked at the press conference, you might have not, if you watched it, you might have noticed that more MP Syed Saddiq was not there and absent from the meeting. And he's also absent from this photo that's circulating of the six MPs.
Very boy bandy.
Yeah, very boy band Tun M. We've got Dato' Sri Mukris there, Mazli Malik, and Syed Saddiq is not there. So I'm just wondering where he fits into all of this, because, you know, previously he's been seen as sort of the young junior protege of Tun M.
Yeah, and what this comes off to me as spat between two old men, which is essentially Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and they're going head to head. I also wonder if then there are consequences for Tan Sri Muhyiddin's Bersatu, whether this new configuration by Tun Mahathir will be able to entice any of the MPs on that side, and whether or not actually that might be a good thing, right? Because if they've jumped ship before, what's stopping them from doing it again and again and again? So I don't know if from my perspective, whether or not Tun Mahathir has learned from that past experience, the Sheraton move and so on. Mm. But we'll see.
Yeah, I have a different concern, though, and that is the fact that it's not going to join either Pakatan or Perikatan. So I'm just curious as to how the seat allocations would look like if it is going to work with Pakatan. And I mean, the prime minister candidate thing will certainly be an issue, because if it's, you know, if it's three coalitions, then it's just going to be a mess. It could be a three-way fight, and that could split votes, you know, in favor of one party, whereas it might have favored the other if it was just a straight fight. So it looks like there's still lots of things to be settled, and this party, this new party, perhaps only adds more questions to the political quagmire that the country is facing.
So let us know, what do you think of this new party? Do we need it? Do we want it? Do we like it? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:14. You are with Kelvin and Hezril on the Evening Edition. We are talking about Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's new political party. No name as of yet, but from what we know, its president will be Chris Mahathir, and then its chairman will be Tun M himself. So we're now going to cross over to James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions, for his take on this. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, nice to be here.
Are you surprised by the formation of this new party?
Well, I am surprised, but not in the way that I didn't see it coming. I am more surprised that he actually was forced to take this last option that he had. He has hinted it a couple of times, but not before he has tried many different options which are definitely more appealing to him. So firstly, his first resort is actually to do what Muhyiddin did. It's just because of the last-minute betrayal by Muhyiddin, he would have wanted that arrangement. And we know from one side school, at least from this article that he's written a couple of weeks ago, that this was in the works for quite some time. But after failing that, his second option is definitely to steal back power from Muhyiddin with Pakatan Harapan's support. But Pakatan Harapan didn't budge, especially PKR's faction, who still insisted that Anwar should be the prime minister. So then he fell back on different arrangements, or either putting himself as prime minister for only, let's say, half a year, and then putting Mukris Mahathir as prime minister, or Shafi Abdal as prime minister. All of that has also failed. So he tried to go to court to ask appeal against the decision to sack him as well as his sympathizers. But because the court has struck out that decision, that now he is forced to actually form his own party. So I am surprised because he had to use this last resort, because this is an extremely difficult path to take. Like you said just now, that it was very saturated. And it is also very, very difficult to rebuild grassroots support for a new political party. So I am surprised in the sense that he was actually forced to take this option.
Actually, just on that note, you know, I was thinking about the point I said about it being saturated, but perhaps I think the other perspective I could view it from is that there is now more varieties of Malay parties to reflect perhaps the very diverse Malay population that we do have here in Malaysia.
I think it would have been good if there were indeed more variety in each of these Malay parties, because the party that Mahathir has just formed is exactly the same party that Bersatu was in 2017. The only difference here is that they claim that they were not the traitors of the pact, but the people in Bersatu were fighting for exactly the same thing, which is anti-corruption, fighting against a kleptocrat government. And what they want is also the championing of Malay rights. Now, I think it would have been good if there actually was more variation in it. So, for example, if Mahathir's intention this time was to form like a multiracial party, then maybe there is room to argue that it's more variety. But when it comes to strategy as well as whether this is actually beneficial for the people, I don't think so, because they are not given more variety in terms of the causes as well as the principles that they champion. Rather, it's just a difference in terms of personality. So I think that would actually create more clutter and frustration from the people, because it is viewed as just individuals wanting power for themselves. And because they couldn't find a home in any of the political parties, they are forming another one that is almost exactly the same.
Right. And how appealing do you foresee this party, getting? Because I guess I'm just thinking of two selling points, right? One is fighting corruption and kleptocracy, and then the other one is, of course, Tun M's draw.
Mm. I think there is something to be said about having a party that fights against corruption. I think no matter what the cause is, at some point, there will be fatigue amongst voters against a certain issue, especially when they have seen signs of progress. So, for example, it is coincidental that Muhyiddin's cause in government now is also to show that he is a government against corruption, and that's why it is in his interest to make sure that the that Najib, for example, goes through the full process of the law so that he can say that I was that government that is clean. And that's why it also is true that his cabinet has no one who is involved in major scandals or court cases against them. So I think corruption as a cause has evolved from the straightforward moral cause between right and wrong in 2018 or before 2018 into one that is of the battle of personalities. And therefore, just by forming a new party to say that I'm fighting against corruption is not as persuasive anymore. Now, the question is whether there is still a draw on Mahathir or not. I think there was, once again, a significantly greater draw before the election. But Mahathir is definitely losing his luster because he has shown on many occasions that he just wants to be prime minister for himself or anyone who's related to him, like his son. So, for example, the insisting of wanting to be prime minister no matter what, even if it's for 6 months only, or like giving the ultimatum to PKR to say that if you don't support me, I'm going to get someone else to make me prime minister. All of this are not only signs of desperation, but also to show that he is not different, after all, in that fight for himself. And therefore, I think that other than getting the sympathizers who are also his loyalist supporters to join this party, I think that there isn't a great appeal to it to the voters.
How strong of a contender will it be then against Tan Sri Muhyiddin's Bersatu?
I think he would be a strong contender. Now, when we talk about contend, whether he is a strong contender or not, we have to consider whether there is political support, enough votes for him to win. I think he would only have appeal to Pakatan Harapan supporters and voters, but only if he joins Pakatan Harapan. Now that he has said that he is not aligned even to Pakatan Harapan, voters may not vote for him. So many Pakatan Harapan voters see him as one of the main causes for their government's downfall. And therefore, he doesn't have that level of support. And we also have to know that in comparison to Muhyiddin, Muhyiddin has far greater amount of resources simply because he is in government. Mm. And therefore, that's on another count on how Tun Mahathir doesn't have as much contending power. Now, we have to also know that in any contestation of election, the most important people that you have to appeal to is not actually your existing hardcore supporters, but the fence-sitter voters. And the largest group of this is definitely also the Malay supporters. What we are seeing is that the difference between Mahathir's new party and Muhyiddin's party is simply too small. Bersatu is a non-corrupt version of UMNO, And this new party by Mahathir is a non-corrupt version of Muhyiddin. It's just it's harder to say that because there isn't major scandals yet involving Muhyiddin's people as big as, in the scale of, let's say, Najib, for example. So that's why I don't think that he has that much contending power as he used to have under Bersatu.
So, of course, now... if this is approved by the ROS, there will be four Malay-based parties, political parties, right? UMNO, PAS, Bersatu, and this new one. How will this affect the political dynamics in the lead-up to the anticipated snap polls?
Now, I think it is very important for us to view a lot of these political parties contending for voters in the spectrum of marketing a little bit, to understand whether there is any something called unique selling proposition or not. If not, the market is just too saturated, right? So I think one of the most well-known business strategy books is actually called The Blue Ocean Strategy. The idea for this is that you want to go into an ocean that no one is there, where it's still blue, so that you can craft out, let's say, a piece of the pie of your own. Without differentiator, you are competing with the rest of the Malay parties, and it would be a red ocean instead, because everyone would fight really aggressively for it. What we have learned in the 2018 election, which I think PAS has learned this very, very well, is that splitting Malay parties more than two ways is a really bad idea. Under this arrangement, it is worse because even though we can see at least UMNO and PAS under Muafakat Nasional are willing to join together, Bersatu is not, or at least UMNO and PAS are not willing to work with Bersatu in the sense of becoming one coalition and not contest against each other, which means that there will be at least two already even before Mahathir entered the picture. It is very likely that Mahathir will not be buddies with Bersatu or UMNO and PAS in elections, and therefore it is likely to split three ways. And the fourth pie there would definitely be Pakatan Harapan. They would still try to shore up Malay support, most likely in the semi-urban or urban places. In other words, we are looking at it splitting actually four, five ways for Malay votes, and therefore it will severely affect parties that rely upon race-based support. And that one of them now is Mahathir's party.
Do you expect to see more changes in party loyalties?
You know, one of the persons who attended the press conference with Mahathir today, his name is Shahrudin Muhammad Saleh. This person only... very recently, after Muhyiddin formed his new government, and he was actually, Shahrudin is actually a Muhyiddin loyalist. He was appointed a cabinet position. But even then, he quit his position and then he declared his loyalty for Mahathir instead. At that time, I thought that that means that there is more to just buying of support by both sides. There was something higher in terms of the loyalty that people have to Mahathir. And I thought at that time there will have there will be a domino effect where more and more you know, Mahathir's loyalists who are in Muhyiddin's camp would actually start coming to him instead. But I don't see that happening. And I think this speaks to one thing. Bersatu, initially, it was formed on a very, very brittle basis. In other words, there was no loyalty that is built on a cause. There is no loyalty that is built on even any personality. It was built on position and power. And therefore, it would be very, very difficult for Mahathir this time to shore up any grassroots political support. Because as we know now, even Bersatu's grassroots support is quite weak. And you could imagine what kind of bet Mahathir is putting to in the many years that he needs to actually build up that level of dominance again. to be a formidable contender against the rest.
James, thank you so much for those insights.
Okay, have a good evening.
You too. That was James Chai, Head of Commercial and Research at Invoke Solutions, talking to us about Tun Mahathir's new party. You can send us your thoughts. Well, what do you think of this new setup? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And on Twitter, I guess we have been asking that very question.
Yeah, with the boy band pick.
With the boy band pick, tweeted directly from Tunem's own Twitter. We have this one here from Jill Anish that says, the more, the merrier, no. Among others, saying that they don't actually even think about this party. And perhaps I think that speaks to some of the sentiments from, I guess, the much younger people on Twitter, but we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? Call 7733-2900. You can tweet at BFM Radio as well, and WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're headed to the 6:30 news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.